You're listening to Brumpod, the podcast for small businesses by small businesses, discussing the topics that matter to you, including marketing, networking, generating business awareness, as well as covering various business tools and technology. Brought to you by Brummies Networking, the home of free, stripped-back business networking. Produced by Audio Shed Podcast Studio. Welcome to episode 63 of Brumpod. I'm Richard Heathcote, and I'm here as ever with Jason and Ewan.
Good day to you.
Hello.
And today we're going to be talking about running a business during disruption. So with obvious things in the news, with rail strikes looming and petrol prices at record highs, just how much of this kind of thing is affecting modern business operations? And obviously, since the pandemic, there are still a lot of people continuing to work from home and working flexibly with their employers. And that landscape is probably going to change for good. I don't think there's going to be that many that will regress back into the old ways fully. So are there as many people likely going to be affected with all these disruptions as there once were? Are they problematic for most, or is it just a small segment of society that are the most affected with this? So, Jason, over to you to start.
Oh, I've got nothing, so I thought Ewan was going to jump in.
No, you swine.
So, oh, come on, it's my birthday. I can have some fun with this.
Happy birthday.
Yes. You said you wouldn't sing.
I lied.
No, look, working from home, WFH, is now, you know, it's one of those acronyms that's now synonymous, which was weird because every time I see that subliminally, I still see WTF, which means something completely different.
Yes.
And yeah, most businesses are adopting this hybrid working, but you still see office companies rapidly expanding and acquiring new space. So we know it's not going back to the way it was, but it's also... People are just going to find this Goldilocks zone where it's what works for them. It's just the cost, because you weigh up the cost of commuting. I think one of the comparison sites was running the numbers about what it costs. And they said the average person traveling to work 5 days a week, it had cost them £128 a month by car, £328 a month by train, and £76 a month travelling by bus. That's just the average. And that probably includes a lot of London prices, hence the train is so expensive.
Yeah.
Working from home, you don't have those commute costs. We know people saved thousands of pounds on commute costs during the lockdown when they had to work from home. But did they feel any richer? Because you've also got energy costs. You use more electricity at home. You're drinking your own coffee at home. Yes, a Tesco meal deal is, you know, three other supermarkets are available. It's gone up from like £3 to £3.50. That's per day. Now, you can snack from the fridge, but at work, you're just going to have your sandwich and go back to work. At home, you can keep going back to the fridge and you can have a bit more and a bit more and a bit more. So it's kind of swings and roundabouts. It's about how you use working from home or how you use the commute to work that dictates your finances. I mean, how often do you guys travel from where, you know, your base of operations? You know, I know, Richard, you got your studio, Ewan, you've got the treehouse. You know, how often do you travel about versus working from home? What do you find the costs are to you?
Well, personally, most of my business is done either in the centre of Birmingham, face-to-face, or online. So because of where I am and because I'm on several major bus routes, in effect, it's actually fairly cheap for me to get into the centre of Birmingham. Yeah, I think the biscuit budget has gone through the roof when I'm working from home. But, and the other thing is that you don't need the suit. Or even if you don't you know, wear a suit anyway, then you don't need to be quite as smart. You don't need to spend quite as much on clothes if you're working from home.
Yeah, that's very true.
Ewan is currently broadcasting this podcast from his home, wearing a dressing gown, a pair of those fluffy, you know, barefoot slippers, you know, with the fake claws coming out, and he's holding a cup of coffee that says "World's Best Consultant."
This is where I slip off and put the dressing gown on, isn't it? But there,
steady on. It's not that kind of podcast.
I'm
the same. I mean, I don't travel at all for work. Well, I mean, very rarely. Pre-pandemic, I have had need to go into external studios on the odd occasion here and there, sort of down in Bristol or thereabouts. But generally speaking, pretty much all of it can be done from my home studio. The only real business cost driving wise I have is coming into Bremis every month. That's pretty much it.
Every second Tuesday of the month, that is, at the Grosvenor Casino.
Absolutely. I would say other networking groups are available, but no, I'm not going to say that. No, we're the only one. We're the only one that exists. No, we're not. But yeah, so my travelling costs are minimal. I mainly just use the car for my own journeys to and fro various places, but work-wise, yeah, very, very little. And yeah, and again, pre-pandemic, I tended to use the car more for when I did have to go to external studios because it was cheaper than going by train. I went down to Bristol once by train, and the return cost, train fare cost about 95 quid. But the same journey with the petrol prices at the time ended up costing about 25 quid, 30 quid. So, yeah, the second time I had to go down to Bristol for a studio visit, I went by car.
Does presuppose that you're sitting on the train, you know, reading the paper or listening to music, and you're not using that time productively to work?
Yes.
That's a really good point.
Don't sound so surprised, yeah. Jason.
No, I mean, I was going to make almost the opposite point, which is when I worked for a company that was based in central London, if I had to go to head office at a moment's notice, a last minute train ticket could be about 150 quid. Whereas travelling down by car, parking at the NCP across the road, other car parks are available, would cost me about £70. It was half the price to drive in. However, that was dead time on the motorway because you'd still have to make, you couldn't really, apart from maybe taking some calls, which, you know, you'd rather stay safe and legal and just focus on the driving. Not like on a train where it might cost more, but you're right. You can open up your laptop. You can do some work. You can't make calls because have you ever tried making a call on a train?
Oh, it's annoying.
Exactly. So again, it's about what you plan to do and which resources are best used. But just when we thought we got a handle on it, the prices went up on everything. So now there's even more disruption. It's not just, do we still work in the office? It's like, yeah, we got used to working from home, or we got used to doing hybrid. Now we got used to hybrid, all the prices are changing on us. Is it still equitable to do what we, you know, decided we were going to do?
Yeah.
The fuel's topping £2 a litre now.
It is absolutely insane. And I spotted an article on Sky News that was entitled, "What Happens If I Can't Afford Petrol to Get to Work Each Day?" Which is a very real problem at the moment for a lot of people. And so many people are struggling to afford to fill their cars because it is so ridiculously expensive. You know, and my car being a 1.6-litre petrol Qashqai, it's not typically what you would consider a gas guzzler. But even that now is costing around, well, to go from near empty to full would be about 85 quid, 90 quid. And it's ridiculous.
I filled up my car and, you know, most pumps have got a limit of £99. So I filled up my vehicle on the forecourt and hit the 99. So I hadn't even fully filled up the car. and it tapped out, hit the maximum that the pump would dispense. That's, we never thought we'd get that, to that situation. The fuel strikes, you know, 20 years ago now, we were looking at those billboards at the petrol stations, and they only had two digits because they weren't expecting fuel to go over a pound a litre.
Well, exactly. I remember years ago, my dad was saying, oh, the prices will never go over a pound because, yes, there's only two digits on the board. And of course, that was quickly quashed.
Yeah.
And yeah. I remember looking at, when you look at old episodes of things like Keeping Up Appearances and things like that on Gold, I remember seeing one episode last year or so that one of the shots drove past a petrol station. And I can't remember when that was shot, probably early 90s. Early to mid 90s.
Yeah.
And the petrol prices were 44 point something a litre.
Yes. By the way, that was a small insight into Richard's downtime.
Yes.
He's also got an extensive cardigan collection.
You say that,
and
but it's true.
And he irons his Argyle socks.
Well, what else are you going to do with them?
Well, you need crease down the front, don't you?
Absolutely.
And, sad.
It has,
it's really sad.
And it has prompted one person to set up a petition, and there's currently a petition going on change.org to request the government to reduce fuel duty by 50%, as I didn't realise quite how much was involved, but apparently wholesale prices for petrol have in the last few days recently decreased, yet prices still going up. So between fuel duty and VAT, it accounts for around about 83 pence at the pump. And the petition currently has 291,595 signatures. Yeah. And apparently Rishi Sunak is considering it, isn't he?
He is, yeah.
Something similar happened in the US. Yeah, Joe Biden's administration have put a, what was it, a 90-day suspension on fuel duty to try and help people out. Now, first of all, you've got to make sure that cut is passed on at the pumps. Because it doesn't get passed on immediately, because the fuel that's in the petrol station reserves has been paid for at the old rate. So you don't see an immediate effect, and sometimes it's really hard to tell when the price cut is being put in. And there's always that suspicion that are they leaving it a bit late to maximise their own profit?
Surely
not. But ultimately, that tax revenue would have to be replaced from somewhere else. So there's always a knock-on effect and consequences. And the question, I suppose, is it live now, pay later? And they, you know, will they recover it later on? Or are we just storing up bigger problems even later? And that's probably a discussion that's beyond the scope of three idiots in a podcast. But you can see that it's like running a business. Every decision you take has consequences.
Yeah.
If you don't travel in to save money, you miss meetings. Are you as effective online as you are face-to-face? Every time these things come up, you have to adapt the way you work, and those adaptions will dictate how your business goes, and that's the thing that most people are stressing about. Whatever I do, because I have to do something, is it the right thing?
Yeah. But there's one big thing that the three of us are ignoring, which is, you know, we all do things that, you know, we can fairly comfortably do from home. There are an awful lot of businesses out there that are dependent on people turning up somewhere. So if you're a plumber, a kitchen fitter, whatever.
Hospitality, yeah.
But, you know, you actually have to go there. Yeah. And yeah, you know, your promise prices are going to suddenly shoot up because they're going to pay for all this petrol and they've got no alternative.
Yeah, I mean, companies where you are office-based, you can put together carpool schemes. But again, that relies on individuals being at work every day consistently and having a route and picking people up. And what about when they go on holiday or they get sick? Or what if they've got a work from home day, because it's not that they have to be in every day. So there's a lot of planning and contingencies, and there are ways that people can mitigate some of these costs. But you, with every business, you reach a point where there is no slack left in the system. You are now running at maximum efficiency. And if the prices keep going up, at some point it stops being a viable option. And you've got to consider some, you know, rather unpalatable alternatives.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
The Sky News article also mentioned they had an economist on to sort of offer some thoughts as to how people can hopefully remedy some of this, at least in the short term. And although it's nothing that's mandatory, there are some reports of companies offering and certainly recommending employees speak to their employers to see if having a mileage allowance is feasible to cover some fuel costs, which, you know, may not be an immediate benefit, but, you know, charging out petrol at or mileage at 45p a mile for up to a certain limit could help a lot of employees out if companies are willing to go that route. And of course, there are some tax relief benefits for the company involved through that as well. So potentially more companies may adopt that sort of mentality. It's obviously not a mandatory thing, but a lot of companies hopefully would see it as a benefit to their employees to help them through a very difficult time.
But yeah, that there are pushes the yeah, but that then pushes it that company's costs up at a time when they're trying to hold them down because of inflation and all the rest of it. So,
but maybe it may, you know, ease itself out with the various tax relief benefits that could potentially mitigate that to a large degree. Hopefully, you never know. It's certainly worth some companies looking at for sure.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Well, people want commuting to still happen because there's a reason people come into a city centre to work. That the BBC calculated that one day of UK commuting is worth about 82 million to the economy. I think they calculated that when they were working out the cost of the recent rail strikes. So it's important. It's not just something that can be completely removed and replaced with home working. And companies like PricewaterhouseCoopers, they were offering they're offering free breakfasts and lunch to some employees if they made a commitment to spend X amount of days in the office. And again, that can be something that helps revitalize a city centre because those breakfasts can be supplied by, you know, a nearby restaurant or venue that is also worried about the cost of food, the cost of paying their staff, the cost of keeping the lights on in their venue. So there are solutions that link to other businesses and keep the wheels turning in the city centre. It's not just all about what you can cut back. Sometimes it's about how you can effectively invest your way out of these situations. So it's not all doom and gloom and about what we've got to give up and deny ourselves. Sometimes it's about how can we innovate our way out of this.
Oh yeah, it's totally about finding solutions to problems, and you know that's the joy of running a business or the pain of running a business, depending on which day you're talking about.
And clearly, we have no actual answers for you. This is just us having a natter about various issues of the day. But so we can't ever promise answers, but hopefully, we can pose questions and thoughts.
It'll all come down to an individual cost-benefit analysis. Does Ewan bake his own biscuits to save money? Or would that actually cost more than just switching to the store-brand biscuits rather than those luxury biscuits?
Well, exactly. And there's no need for you to gold-plate them either.
Well, he deliberately buys the one that says nice on them.
Yeah. So, what can we do as small businesses to defend against these sort of disruptions? I mean, again, we've covered a lot of these things in the past, so we're not going to dwell on them. But, you know, some companies may be forced into becoming more flexible with staff in office and rotating the people that need to be in on certain days. Work from home is likely to be another thing that will continue well into the future, if not forever. Carpooling with colleagues may assist some if people are local in reducing slightly the burden of fuel prices and sharing the costs, doing more meetings through Zoom and the like for avoiding unnecessary travel if something can be done online in a 30-minute meeting than having to drive an hour, have a meeting, drive an hour back. You know, that could help, as it has over the last couple of years.
And of course, the most obvious one, which is, why pay to join a networking group when there are some really, really good free networking events that occur every second Tuesday of the month at the Grosvenor Casino on Broad Street?
Well, you do raise a very important point, yes. I mean, why shouldn't we fly the flag?
Absolutely.
I mean, there are obviously a lot of networks that do charge a fair chunk of money for networking, but obviously we are free and we will continue to be free. So,
yeah,
if you like free networking, then we're your people.
Exactly.
Then the other thing is, obviously, with again, we've covered EV, electric vehicles in the past, and hopefully in the near future, things will cars like that will become even more affordable. They're gradually getting to that stage, but they are still a premium compared to the internal combustion engine equivalents. But one article I found on startups.co.uk states that a year's petrol or diesel typically costs well over £1,000. But if you charge an electric car at your home overnight, the annual fuel cost can be under £150. So, again, if you've got decent electricity supplier that can generate green electricity, then that's obviously the main reason for going green in the first place, then there are some significant savings to be made. But
so just being cynical about it, how are the government of whatever stripe going to make up for all that tax that they're currently getting on VAT on cars, on and on fuel and the fuel duty escalator?
Well, they've now stopped their the government grant scheme has now been dropped, which they sort of plumbed in $2,500 for each EV, new EV sold. So that's now stopped. And they will undoubtedly just start charging EVs the same with road tax and everything else. It will happen. It's bound to happen. It's inevitable.
Yeah.
Obviously, there's been a massive boon having an electric vehicle with not having to pay, I think, any road tax at all, or if you do, maybe heavily reduced compared to a ICE car.
Yeah.
But as far as I'm aware, it has been free road tax for the bulk of electric cars.
But what I'm saying is the cost of buying / running an electric vehicle is going to go up substantially from the figures that are now being quoted.
It's highly likely. But hopefully it will still be cheaper than having to fuel with petrol.
Well, I think the best thing to do is, if you're running a business and you're looking at these options, is you work out how you can effectively calculate your own cost of running your business, working from home or traveling in. You look at what, you know, it's, I know this sounds a little, you know, glib, but it's not about the small changes. It's not about buying store-owned tea bags rather than the ones that you like, because those changes are fractions of pennies. It's about the big changes. Cycling to work, if you can, is great. But if you can't, your options are drive or public transport. So you need to work out what's the average cost of your working day if you're working from home versus the office. And then you've got to work out how many days should you work from home and work in the office. And then you look at if there are ways you can do things smarter. So if you are going to have to spend more time in the city centre, should you get a bus pass rather than pay individual journeys? Are there any bulk savings you can make by planning ahead, or is your business flexible and has to be ready to adapt? We have also got to hold on to the fact that recessions and economic shocks come and go. We had them in the 90s. We had them at the turn of the century. We had the credit crunch. You know, we had a downturn about 6 years ago as well. and we've got a downturn now, and we do come out the other side. So sometimes it's just a case of, is it just about knuckling down and waiting for the storm to pass? These can be all very personal, depending on what you do. And of course, not every business survives. You know, the fax machine business has struggled terribly in the last decade, I'll be completely honest. But some other businesses have thrived. So sometimes it's a case of, how do you steer your business in a new direction with what is going to be, as the phrase came out, the new normal?
Well, yeah. That's the thing. At the moment, there are not necessarily really any wrong answers. Every business owner has got to do whatever they feel is right for them at the time, as we speak, because that's all you can do, really. No one's got a crystal ball. We don't know when the upturn is going to happen, but hopefully before too long it will. But you do have to just weigh things up. Do you need all employees in the office at all times, or can things be a bit more flexible? And communication also is key. You know, speaking to all your employees and colleagues and everything else, who needs to be where, when, and for why. So hopefully then it'll be a case of working out the best plan for your business to ride out the storm, as you say, and hopefully there will be brighter times ahead where this will be a long distant memory.
Yeah. And as always, in about 5 years' time, we'll find out whether we've all made the right decisions.
Well, yes, absolutely.
Yeah. And I suppose the mental health aspect as well is, employers need to support their staff through this. There's a lot of scared people out there that are looking for guidance. And if you're self-employed, you have clients that are also worried. And it's really about, you know, now is the time when business leaders need to demonstrate leadership. And it's, you know, people will be looking for people with answers, not just people that say they've got the answers or are capitalizing on it, but people that can genuinely come up with solutions that people will follow. And we will see, I could imagine there will be almost an entirely new generation of business leaders and leaders in general within the next 3 years. Nobody was expecting me to say that one, were they?
I didn't think you'd finish your sentence.
No. I just put that one out there and left a gap and just thought, yeah. But genuinely, I think that a lot of the current establishment, both business and political, will be left behind because of their inaction on the current situation. And I think there will be a whole new generation of leadership in place that will have come up with the solutions and that people will look to.
More than likely. Well, hopefully we've given you some food for thought on this. As ever, we obviously offer no real answers for things, but things hopefully to make you think, and maybe some creative ways that you can hopefully mitigate the storm at the moment. And let's hope we see the other side of it very soon, and things will be a lot better in the future. So yes, thank you for listening. Thank you, gents, for your attendance as ever, and we shall catch you next time.
You've been listening to Brumpod, the podcast for small businesses by small businesses, brought to you by Brummies Networking, the home of free, stripped-back business networking. Produced by Audio Shed Podcast Studio. Follow us on Twitter at Brumpod. You can follow and subscribe to future episodes using Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, Google Podcasts, Pocket Casts, and several other podcast platforms. Just search for Brumpod. And if you've enjoyed what you've heard, then please do consider leaving us a review. Music by Bureaucratic. We'll see you on the next episode.